Reading is from Kings, 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, then verses 7 to 15, and this can be found in the Church Bibles on page 373. That's about Naaman healed of leprosy. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master could see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cursed of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Make the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him: "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our second reading is Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, which can be found in the Church Bible on page 1051. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Before looking at the similarities, contrasts, and lessons for us to learn from the 2 miraculous healings of leprosy, I thought I'd indulge you with a little bit of trivia. In the Middle Ages, there were 12 leper hospitals in Essex, the last place in Britain that was used solely for the treatment of leprosy did not close until 1947, and it was situated just a few miles southeast of Chelmsford, between Bicknacre and East Hanningfield. The term leprosy is often used to cover a range of skin diseases. Hansen's disease, which is what we traditionally think of leprosy, is, or can be, very disfiguring and historically led to an early death. In our first reading, we have Naaman, a big man in more ways than one, an important military commander in what was the Assyrian army, the powerhouse of the region at the time. No doubt, he was strong physically, a man of power and influence who had earned respect, and one highly valued by his king. But all of a sudden, his world literally falls apart, with the telltale signs of discoloration and numbness in the skin indicating the onset of leprosy. This powerful man now faces rejection, exclusion, humiliation, and a painful, lonely, early death. Fortunately, there's a servant girl, well, actually a slave, really, who had been taken from Israel, and she tells her mistress that her master should go and visit Elisha. So Elisha gets permission to travel to Israel, taking an extraordinarily valuable gift in the verses we didn't read, 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. I noticed the other day, gold is now £4,000 an ounce, and 10 sets of clothing, reflecting the level of desperation and his value. We heard that the king of Israel was perplexed. What were the consequences of Naaman not being healed? Whereas, were the enemies going to invade and punish Israel for the lack of healing? But what a contrast we have with our second reading. 10 lepers living on the margins, with no status, no power, no friends other than each other, no influence, and likely to have stones thrown at them whenever they approached a settlement. They simply could not fall any lower. Despite all Naaman's advantages and clear need, he has a big major hurdle, his pride. He is put out to the point of anger by Elisha not even coming out to see him in person. Then at being asked just to go and wash yourself in the local river. his servants come to the rescue in pricking his self-importance by pointing out that if he had been asked to do a major task, he would not have hesitated. He relents, is healed to having a skin like that of a young boy, and returns in gratitude, praising God. In Jesus' day, there was considerable enmity between Jews and Samaritans, but the group of 10 were united by their plight. Evidently, they'd have heard of Jesus touching and healing a leper, as recorded in Luke 5. So they call out, "Master, have pity on us." Significantly, Jesus says, "I see you," contrary to the normal practice of not seeing lepers unless you wanted to get out of their way. They're simply told to go and show themselves to the priest. This had implications as people went to a priest for verification of healing from several diseases. Sadly, just one Samaritan returns. Jesus asks a rhetorical question, "Where are the others?" before stating a familiar phrase, "Your faith has made you well." Not just a physical healing, but also one of spiritual wholeness. Now, there are several things to note this morning. The importance and value of testimony. We would never have heard of Naaman unless the servant girl had shared what she knew. We need to share what we know. Tell as it is. We have no idea what the consequences and the benefits will be. God's grace knows no boundaries. Here it is ethnic and religious. Both Naaman and the unnamed leper were of a different race and faith. If pride can, it will get in the way. True gratitude is rare. Just one of the lepers returned. But what special messages are there for us? Now, we all have times when life is challenging. It might be moving out of one's comfort zone to take on a new role, the sheer amount of demands upon oneself, illness of oneself or a loved one, or even if we become aware that spiritually our relationship with God needs attention. So how do we approach God in prayer? Do we speak bland words of little meaning or utter deep utterances from the heart? Or does pride whisper, "It'll be okay"? Has our desperation given us enough humility to trust God and to have childlike obedience to do simple things that God has placed in our path without hesitation or questioning? What level of gratitude do we have to God and to others? Most are more ready to pray than praise, more disposed to ask God for what they don't have than to thank God for what they do, taking for granted blessings and attribute them largely to their own efforts. Unfortunately, we now live in a world where puffing oneself up is common, bragging about self-importance and self-promotion, taking credit due to others, and silence on their efforts. Too often in workplaces, staff feel unappreciated by their management. And sadly, sometimes in churches too. J.C. Ryle wrote, "Thankfulness only blossoms out of a root of deep humility. Thanklessness reveals a lack of humility." Appreciation and gratitude builds relationships and a team spirit, whether in the workplace, in church communities, and with God. Often the last thing I do at night is look back over the day and to thank God for all the good and sometimes unexpectedly good things that have happened. I suspect at the end of our current period of vacancy, we will more clearly be able to see where God was at work during the periods of uncertainty. when God's hand was less clear at that time. It would be a prompt for us to get on our knees and thank God. So how can we best express that gratitude to God? Well, by telling him in worship, praise and service, and in telling others. I'd like to close with two prayers. Firstly, for those on the margins and in need of help like the lepers. Gracious Lord, teach us to see with your eyes of compassion and teach us to love people with your healing and welcoming love. Secondly, that we may have a deeper level of humility before God and a greater depth of gratitude for his impact on our lives. Lord, I pray that you will have your way within us, molding us to lay down pride, to finish the good work that you started, so that our lives may reflect Jesus' humility, meekness, and goodness. Lord, we give thanks that you love and care for each one of us, and we are special to you. Amen.